The state of Alabama very much in the news this week, of course, home of the special U.S. senatorial election. Let's learn what's known about Alabama with Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup poll. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
I believe Donald Trump said that his most fervent supporters hail from Alabama and that if he ever left office, he would consider moving there. To what extent would that state, in turn, embrace him?
We went back and studied all of our data on Alabama as this election was unfolding. And Alabama is very red, very Republican, as we know, but it's actually just the eighth most Republican state in the union. And what's very interesting is the first seven states are not in the Deep South like Alabama. They're all in the Midwest and the Plains area. For example, Wyoming is the single most Republican state in the union, along with North Dakota. So Alabama, although very Republican, has that considerable African-American population who generally identify as Democrats and vote Democratic. So that kind of brings it down from being the reddest state in the union, quite interestingly.
No disrespect to Wyoming and North Dakota, but I would imagine that combined their population doesn't even approximate that of Alabama. Of the other states ahead of Alabama, do any have a more substantial population?
Well, they're all pretty small states because they're up in that area. After North Dakota and Wyoming, it's Utah, Idaho, Alaska, Montana, and Kansas. Those are the states that all are more Republican than Alabama. But there's a lot of empty space up there in the plains and the Midwest.
Frank, we certainly know the results of Tuesday's election, but even hours before the ballot box opened, most pundits said that they weren't going to rely on any of the polls because they seemed to be all over the place. Does polling science fail to the extent it can really tap into somebody's assessment of how they'll vote if, for example, they might be reluctant to reveal that to the pollster?
Well, I don't think that that's what was operative in Alabama. And actually, if you look at it, the average of the polls said that Jones, the Democrat, would win by 2 points. And, of course, he won by a little more than 1 point. So if you look at it that way, they were accurate. But the difficulty in trying to do a special election like we just saw in Alabama is turnout. You don't have any precedent to use to weight the data. You don't know who's going to turn out and who isn't in a special election like this one, and that can make a critical difference in terms of turnout. So a lot of pollsters, and I credit them for this, like the Monmouth poll, which I thought was quite accurate, said here's some scenarios. If the Democratic turnout is higher, then we're going to have a Jones victory. If it's not, we're going to have a Moore victory. And they did some scenarios, and actually they were all right around being a tie. And one scenario said if there is a higher African-American turnout, then we might have a Jones slipping by victory, which is what happened. So I think they did a pretty good job of it, but it's tricky. It's very difficult at the state level in a special election to try to accurately assess what's going to happen.
Meanwhile, whether it's related to the election loss for Republicans or not, Congress is charging ahead with trying to create a tax reform law. Does the public care?
Well, we've talked about it before, and we just updated, Dave, our December question, what's the most important problem facing the country? We do that every month. We have our new data just hot off the presses. Mentions of taxes being onerous, needing to change taxes, to reform taxes, to cut taxes, come in at just 2% of the public. That puts us way down at like the 15th most frequently mentioned problem. So as we've said before, we don't find that this tax reform effort, which is going forth by the Republicans and apparently will be signed by Donald Trump before the end of the year, is something that's a high priority for the average American. Instead, Americans say the number one thing that needs to be fixed is government itself, the way government operates, who we elect to represent us, and the corruption and other kinds of things we see in our elected representatives in Washington.
Seems not so long ago that every week or month it was the economy that was issue number one. And here we are, unemployment's low, the stock market is high. Are Americans satisfied?
They are not. And what's interesting on our most important problem question is that we have only 17% of the public who mention anything about the economy as the top problem facing the country. And there have been times in the past when that's been up to 60, 70, or 80% of all mentions had to do with the economy. So that's another rationale for the tax cuts, is that they are needed to stimulate the economy. But right now, Americans don't see the economy as a big problem, which leads to your question. We would therefore think that Americans would be quite satisfied with the way things are going in the country. But for all of 2017, we just averaged it out, got our latest number in for December. That was only 27% of Americans who were satisfied. Back in the dot-com boom, 99, 98, 2000, we had well over half of Americans who were satisfied with the way things are going, in fact, up to 60%. Right now, we have similar kinds of positive economic boom indicators with the stock market and so forth, but Something's holding Americans back, and they're just not telling us they're satisfied with the way things are going.
Frank, allow me a moment of self-disclosure. In addition to anticipating the winter holidays, I also look forward to Gallup's annual review of the honesty and ethics of professions. I understand that's newly released.
It is indeed. We do that every December, and the medical profession is at the top, along with military officers. We don't ask military officers but every 3 or 4 years, but we included that this year, and they come in second behind only nurses, followed by military officers. Then this year we included grade school teachers, which we put in on a random basis, and they were third in line. Then medical doctors, pharmacists, and then police officers. So that's the top six professions in terms of perceived honesty and ethics. I should point out pharmacists still do well, but this is the lowest rating for pharmacists that we have seen. They're coming down in terms of perceived honesty and ethics, and we think there may be some things related to Americans' perceptions of the pharmacy industry in general, perhaps the opioid crisis and so forth, that's bringing that very sterling reputation of pharmacists down just a little bit.
Any other changes of note from years past?
Well, we have newspaper reporters edging up, which is interesting. They're still not doing well at all. 25% of Americans say that newspaper reporters have a very high or high honesty and ethical standard. And I'll compare that to nurses, where it's 82. But newspaper reporters have been down to like 21% in our previous asking. So that's edged up some, probably due to Democrats who are more positive about newspaper reporters now than they have been in the past.